You know, you can run a race and you have to wait till the end to see if everybody that ran was qualified. There's rules in races. I thought about, you know, how that quarterback fades back and that 6'4" tight end's running down the sideline and it's 4 seconds left in the game and he grabs the touchdown pass and the stands explode. Oh, what man, isn't that great? But no one was aware of the flag back on the field. None of it counted. I don't want to get flagged. And I thought about, it seemed like the theme is just being tonight in the song service and in the pre-service is finishing well, finishing right. And I thought about this as I seated there. I don't want to finish before I get done. There's a lot of people that's finished before they ever finished. I know a lot of men that's now in the ministry only surviving. I know a lot of preachers pastoring churches only for job security. I don't want to finish before I get finished. Well, it's been a real joy to be here this week. I'm telling you, the Lord has ministered to my old heart. He's helped me. And I thank Him. I can go back down the road tonight with joy in my heart, knowing that God has done a work this week. And I bless His name for it. We need to give Him glory and praise for that. I could go back down the road like I did last year at this time, beat up. But oh, thank God for the difference that a year makes. I bless His name. What a great God we serve. Thank You for all that You've given monetarily. Thank You for the room that's been provided for us. And just thank You for being my friend. I love you, preacher. I love this man of God. I appreciate him. You're fortunate to have him. If you hear that he's even entertaining the thought of leaving, double his salary. You say, well, why I do that? Because you don't have a clue who you would get next. Every church in America is one pastor away from modernism. Every church is one pastor away from corrupting. And you got a man that believes God, going to believe right, and he's going to stay right. He's going to preach right. He's going to tell you right. And just love him. Take care of him. Pray for him. Tell him how much you appreciate him. If you don't, tell him that you do. Amen. I got some folk tell me back at home that they love me and I know better. But I appreciate them lying to me. It's a whole lot better for me when they tell me they love me than they tell me, well, I can't stand you. I like that love talk better. If you're ever down around the Crossville area, stop in and see us. You can find us online at liberty-baptist.org or libertybaptist.church or LBC of C, that is Liberty Baptist Church of Crossville.com. You can find us on Sermon Audio or YouTube. I don't know nothing about that. I'm just telling you what they told me to tell you. And so you can find us somewhere. And if you're ever down in that area, if you ever come down there vacating, I'm pretty sure someone's going to do that before long, because we're fastly becoming a resort area. And I don't know if that's good or not, but you come in and see us. I want us to open our Bibles to Psalm 46. I really was, as I told you last night, that the Lord let me know Wednesday night after I finished what to preach last night. And today it hasn't been that way. And I've really been trying to seek the face of the Lord for direction for tonight. And I know this is what He would have me to give, and I know it's already getting late. And I understand, I'm aware of the time. And I'll be as brief as possible. But I want to give you tonight what the Lord would have us to give. Psalm chapter number 46 is in three divisions. You will find that each one of those divisions ends with that stop sign that says Selah. John Phillips said it means stop, look, and listen. And I think that would be correct. And at the end of verse 3, at the end of verse number 7, and at the end of verse number 11, it's divided into three portions. It gives us the ministry of the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. We find in the first part that he's dealing there with the Son's ministry, for He is our refuge. God is our refuge. God the Son is our refuge. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. And then you find the ministry of the Holy Ghost in verse number 4, where it says, there is a river. And you tie that in with John chapter 7, and we'll look for just a moment at that tonight. But then you see in verse number 9 and following, you find the ministry of God the Father. And you find that in that you behold the works of our Lord. And you find that He's the Son, the Spirit, and the Sovereign. I'm glad that He's God, all three in one. And He's one in three, and I can't explain it, but I'm glad it's true. And I'm thankful for the ministry of all three of them. Amen. Amen. We would not have the ministry of the Holy Ghost had it not been for the ministry of the Son. And we would not have had the Son had it not been for the ministry of the Sovereign. I'm glad for the ministry of God in the affairs of men. We're going to see it play out all through eternity. And what a great blessing that is. I want to read beginning in verse 1 and read down through verse 4. And I just want to read this verse. The Bible says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. I want to preach tonight and just sort of, for just a few moments, type the picture of the Holy Ghost and see Him as the river. And we kindly moved in that direction last night. But I want to deal tonight with there is a river. Let's ask God to help us. Father, thank You for the privilege You've given us tonight together in the house of the Lord. Thank You for the good singing, for the good presence of the Lord. I pray now that You would help us to be as brief as possible. But, oh God, say what You won't say tonight. I just want to thank You for what You've already done in these last two services, and I pray that Your will would be accomplished tonight. I pray that You'd deal in the hearts of the unsaved and bring them into the acknowledgement of Yourself, but also for the people of God. I pray that You would help us to understand just a little more about who we have in the ever-abiding presence of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, that You would help us to use this analogy to bring honor and glory to Your name. And we'll thank You for it. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray, amen. Now, on Thursday nights at our church back about for about 6 or 7 months, on Thursday nights back in the summer and the spring, I dealt on Thursday nights with the I Ams of the Spirit. The I Ams of the Spirit. Somebody said, well, you can't find that in the Bible. I'll assure you that's right. The reason we'll not find the Holy Spirit saying, I am, is because the Bible says in John 16:13, he said, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will not speak of himself. I'm glad that he'll not speak of himself. He could never say, I am. But because he doesn't say, I am, doesn't mean that we can't say he is. And I'm glad that he is. Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus had many I am analogies that would teach us about who he was. When he said, I'm the door, we understand that. I'm the vine, I'm the way. We understand all of that. But I'm glad the Holy Ghost can say, we can say that the Holy Ghost could say, I am, amen. He could say, I am the dove. He could say, I am the fire. He could say, I am the wind. I got stuck thinking about this and preached it. He could say, I am the seal. Aren't you glad, as Brother Barry mentioned, that he's sealed. He has sealed us until the day of redemption. Can I tell you what he's done? And Lord, help me to hurry now. Can I tell you what he's done? He has sealed us. You know what that? You know what a seal is? There's two meanings of that. In the old days, the king would take his ring with hot wax, and he was going to send a message. He would seal that with his identification. But you see, the seal was made from on the outside to the inside. And the impression was made from outside inside. But I'm glad the seal of the Holy Ghost, he makes the impression from the inside outside. Hey, I'm glad of that. And another thing that a seal does is that whatever sealed in can't get out. And whatever sealed out can't get in. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I've been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Well, I want to just, if I was preaching at church, I'd say, I want to preach tonight on I am the river. But there is a river. I want us to look tonight, first of all, at the river and its beginning. The beginning of a river. You see, with every river, there is a fountainhead. When I was working on this message, I got to running different rivers that cross our country. I run the Mississippi and the Tennessee River, the Kentucky River. They all run from the north to the south. And tried to trace them back to their originality. And you can't hardly do that because you get them lost, some of them in the Great Lakes, and you get them lost in there and you can't tell where they come from. On other occasions, they move on up into Canada. But the Tennessee River, I found its origination, and it goes all the way up, winds up, and it's a very small stream where it begins. But could I say that it comes out from under a rock? I thought, praise God, I'm glad I live by a river that come out from under a rock. But could I say to you, by the power of the Holy Ghost, I'm glad there's a river in me. And that river has issues from a rock. And that rock is Christ. Hey, the Bible said that God was going to send one, and that he, this man, would be a rivers of water in a dry land. Aren't you glad for the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost? That's the river that is in us. Can I say to you, this river flows from a sinless man. Amen. There was no fault in him. There was no fault in the Lord Jesus. So therefore, there's no fault in the Holy Ghost. That river came from a smitten man, and that or a sinless man, and it also comes from a smitten man. You remember Exodus 17, whenever the children of Israel were needing water, God said, Moses, you go stand up on the rock Horeb, and he said, I'll smite the rock. And the Bible said that waters came out. And the Bible says in Psalm 105:41 that the waters gushed forth and ran in dry places like a river. I'm telling you, friend, this river of the Holy Ghost comes from a smitten man. I'm glad yonder on Calvary's Hill, the Lord Jesus gave his life for you and I. And from that smitten rock, there's a fountain that's flowing. I'm glad it's the water of the Holy Ghost. And I'm glad that you can receive him if you'll believe on him. Amen. Thank the Lord. You know, I got to thinking about this. This don't have anything to do with the message, but how that we talk about how Jesus was smitten, bruised, and abused, and he was. But he was only abused and beaten and bruised for a short span of time. Could I say to you, the Holy Ghost has been dwelling with people for over 2,000 years. But I want you to think about how the Holy Ghost has been abused and misused and bruised and beaten. And he's just as much a person as the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, I'm glad that there is the river and its beginning. I see the fountainhead, but then also I see the furtherance of this river. You say, preacher, how is the river furthered? How does it continue? I mentioned it last night, but if you want to turn, I want to just deal with this for just a moment. In John chapter 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, that was the feast of the tabernacles, the week of the tabernacles, and it was the last day. And there was something about the last day that was the great day. And the Bible and history tells us that the priest had adopted another ritual, which they had added many things to God's commandments. But it said that on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, that the high priest would go down to the pool of Siloam and he would dip up a cup of water and he would bring that cup of water and he would pour it out. He would bring that water and he would pour it out on the brazen altar, signifying that the accomplishments and the festivities of that week was over. I can see it in my mind's eye. As that high priest had sent for that water, now he has it in his hand and he begins to pour it out on that altar. The Bible said that Jesus stood. He couldn't handle it no more. He stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You know what he's saying? That right there ain't going to help you none. But if you really want your thirst quenched, come unto me and drink. Amen. Now, it goes on to say, he that believeth on me. So it seems to me that drinking of him and believing on him would be equivalent to the same thing. Is that right? That's right. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his bellies shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But on the day of Pentecost, the reason I know Jesus got home is the Holy Ghost left home. And he came to abide in us. Amen. And he came on the day of Pentecost. And Jesus said here that if you have received him, out of you shall flow rivers. What is that? That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Out of you shall flow rivers of living water. You know how the river is furthered? The Holy Ghost lives in us, and the river is furthered and continues through the body of the church. When we grieve him and quench him and cramp him, we're damming up the river. See, it's just not one thing to say it all salt up. It's just not that you're aggravated with something. It's clogging up the stream. Oh, we need the work of the Holy Ghost in these days. Amen. You see, this river runs from a high place to a low place. Can I say that the river began at the highest of the high, but it flows all the way down to the lowest of the low and lets the lowest of the low go to the highest of the high on the bank, on the back of the river? I hope you're getting that. I think about this. Sometimes my family and I sing one of Gary Duty's songs, On Heaven's Door, and how that door, Jesus is the door, and had the door remained in heaven, nobody could have got in, because the only way you can get to heaven is through the door. Nobody could have got in, but God unhinged the door and sent the door to the earth and brought the door to the bottom floor and let us get in the door so we could get to the top floor. You see, Noah's Ark had three stories. It had the one on the bottom floor, the second floor, and the third floor. But you couldn't climb up and get in the third story from the outside. You had to get in the door that was on the ground floor if you wanted to go to the top floor. Can I say to you, if you want to get to where God is, if you want to go to heaven when you die, you got to go through the door that came to the bottom floor, and you get to the third floor from the inside. Ain't that right? I like to think about the Lord Jesus got on that elevator of grace and said, down, please. It couldn't have been no higher than where it was. It was on the top floor. Down, please. And it comes all the way down to where the angels are. They said, you won't off here, sir. No, let's go on down. Matter of fact, let's go down till it can't go no further. And he came to this low land of sorrow and got off and became like me and you, so that you and I can get on the elevator of grace and go higher than the angels have ever been. I'm telling you, friend, thank God for the person and the plan of salvation. Amen. We are the furtherance of that river. Now, let me say just a word here about my second point. I see the river and its beginning. Then I see, secondly, the river and its boundaries. Now, every body of water, the ocean, lakes, ponds, they're governed by all sides. Right? I got a pond that lays in front of my house, and it's governed by all sides. Now, it's got an inlet and an outlet, but it's governed by all sides. But a river is only governed by two sides. In other words, it runs the same channel. all the time. What's that mean, preacher? See, this old Bible here looks like a dirty old bank. The cover of it. You know where the river's running? Did you know the Holy Ghost will never operate outside the banks that it was channeled to run in? You need to get a hold of that. There's a lot of eggheads today that saying that it's God and the Spirit that told me to do it, but you can't find it in here. The Holy Ghost only operates right in between here. Somebody said, boy, we want the river to get out of banks. Not me. You don't ever hear me saying, boy, I want the river to get out of banks. As long as the river stays in banks, you're fine. When it gets out of banks is when it does its damage. See, you can get just as wet by going and jumping in the river as you can the river coming and getting you. What we need to do is just jump in. Just jump in. You know, the women's lib movement came through back several years ago. I was just a boy. And boy, there was a lot of churches that jumped on it, you know. Well, now they're reaping the repercussions of that. They've got women in the pulpit and women in the deacons, in the deaconship. They've got women doing everything. But you know something? Thank God for godly women. Thank God for godly women. Don't misrepresent what I'm saying. Thank God for godly women. But if it's the Holy Ghost, it ain't going to come through no woman. I had a radio broadcast back when I was a young preacher. And there was a lady... Or let me say it like that. There was a woman preaching on the spot before me, and we did everything live in those days. And boy, she would hack and holler, spit and slobber. It was the awfulest thing you ever heard. Well, I don't know if it was me, the Lord, the devil, the flesh, or whatever. I don't know. All I know is I felt really impressed one of those Saturday mornings to really nail women who said they were preachers. I don't know if it's God. I was too young then. I didn't know the difference. All I know was it wasn't right and I was going to say something about it. I've kind of got over that now. But the next Saturday, she cornered me. And she said, young man, boy, I was about 28, 29 year old. I didn't get saved until I was 27. But I was about 28, I guess. She stuck her finger right up in my nose. And she said, young man, I want you to know something. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I was a preaching when you were still in diapers. And I said, ma'am, I don't doubt that. And that was the wrong thing to say. And I didn't know what to say. I was just struggling, you know. I mean, you got an old preacher woman with a finger on your nose. You don't know what to say. And here I was just stammering and hunting, needing something to say. And I really think that I did it on my own because God wouldn't tell me nothing. He was a dying laughing. God said, I'll teach you right here, boy, to keep your mouth shut. And she said, and I said, well, ma'am, the scripture says that the woman is not to usurp authority over a man. And I said, I think it says in the book of Timothy that, you know, the preacher's to be the husband of one wife. I said, can you fit that description? She said, I don't care what Paul said.
Listen.
And I don't care what you say, And I don't care what the Bible says. I know what the Holy Ghost says. You know, there's a whole lot of that going on. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what the Spirit said to me. Well, it might have been a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy One. I don't know why I'm laboring here. I don't think we got any women preachers in the house. We got any men. Oh, man, no. But I'm having fun tonight. I really am. But the only thing I could tell her when I left was, well, ma'am, all I know is that the Lord chose a rooster to wake Simon Peter up. It wasn't no hen. That's how a young preacher will do. But needless to say, she didn't jump on me no more. And I didn't jump on her no more. Oh, Lord, let me move on. You see, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the operation of the church by the Holy Ghost runs between the banks of this river, of this channel right here. He never operates outside of here. And let me say, he never operates outside of here rightly divided. Well, I need to move on. I can see I've upset some. We see here that I see the river and its beginning. I see the river and its boundaries. Right here's where my burden is. I see the river and its burdens. When my wife had open heart surgery, and I mentioned this, I've mentioned this over the years here. In 02, they said she wouldn't survive. I said something about it, I think, Wednesday night. But she survived. She did good. And I took 9 weeks off from evangelism and stayed with her. Tried to take care of her. I had to go back on the road for several reasons after 9 weeks. Financial reasons, just several reasons. And my wife, to just kindly help me out, said, honey, said you're a lot better preacher than you are a nurse. Said, just go on back on the road. And I said, yeah, thank you, baby. Thing of it is, she meant that. And I remember my first meeting was in Lake Charles, Louisiana. I normally flew, but because of situations, I had to drive. I got my old Lincoln. I headed out down the highway. Didn't want to go. Lord, have mercy. My heart was torn all apart. Hadn't preached in 9 weeks. My bride was home. She was right at death's door. I didn't want to go. And I was heading down through there, and I went all the way down 59. They got down there to where Interstate 59 goes on into Baton Rouge, and into New Orleans, and Interstate 10 turns right, or Interstate 12 turns right there at Slidell going to Baton Rouge. It's about 80-something miles over to Baton Rouge from Slidell. And then 10, Interstate 12, and intersects with Interstate 10 right there in Baton Rouge, and then 12 stops and 10 continues on toward Texas. But right there, about 3 miles past where the two intersect, there's a huge Skyway Bridge. Some of you been down through there. It's the bridge that spans the Mississippi River that's dumping into the Gulf of Mexico. And I started up that, my heart was still heavy. And I started up that bridge. And when you get up there, it seemed like you can see 100 miles both ways. And I slowed down. I slowed down to about 80, and I was kind of easing up. And the whole, when I started up that bridge, the Holy Ghost said to me plain, "If you'll pay attention, I want to teach you something." And I was taught something that I knew, but I didn't know it. Brother Henry, when I started up that bridge, I looked south and I looked north. And on the back of that river was billions of tons of cargo. And you know what? The river was bearing up under the load of it all. And I said, Lord, is that really what you're showing me? He said, son, there's a river in you. You don't have to carry this load. I'm big enough to carry the load and you. And when I started off the other side, I was a different individual than when I come up this side. And honest, I got off and found me a place in those swamps and had me a natural born Cajun fit down there. I'm telling you, I got out of that car and I had both hands in the air. And I said, thank you, Lord. Oh, the situation hadn't changed. My wife was still hurting. She was still in need. But the Holy Ghost said, you don't have to carry this load. I've got it. You go ahead and do my work. I've got the load. And I want to tell you, since that day, it's been different with me. I don't get under the load anymore. There's one in me that can carry that load. I'll be honest with you. I don't carry the loads no more. I quit it that day. God's not going to put no more on me than I can handle. And he sure ain't going to put no more on the Holy Ghost who's in me that can handle. You know, there's crushing burdens that some of you are going through. Burden just got you knocked apart. Got you beat to pieces. But this river has an unusual ability to take all of them floating parts and put it all back together again. There's crushing burdens. There's church burdens. You know what a lot of preachers are doing? They've got this river in them, but they're trying to carry the ship on their shoulder. It ain't a chip on their shoulder, it's a ship on their shoulder. And a ship on your shoulder will produce chips on your shoulder. A lot of preachers going down underneath the load. Because they're trying to carry it themselves. When there is a river that was made for ships. There is a river that was made for ships. Brother Barry, Brother Henry, hey men, we can't carry the load. We're not made to carry the load. But there is a river. I don't have to carry the ship. I just got to get in the ship and let the Holy Ghost carry it. You know how the old ship of Zion, I'm getting too old for this. You know how the old ship of Zion is going to get home. You ain't going to carry it home. I ain't going to carry it home. She's going to get home on the sunny bench and dock in on sweet deliverance on the back of the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to say, back in my previous pestering years, I didn't pastor, I pestered. I pestered 13 years before I started in 20 years of evangelism. God let me pastor 13 years, teach me how to be an evangelist. And he let me be an evangelist 20 years to teach me how to pastor. And in those years, I'd get under the load so heavy I couldn't handle it. But I don't do that no more. Somebody said, well, you ain't having no problems. I ain't having none. Holy Ghost taking care of the most of them. Because I'm letting him. See, if it hadn't have been me looking north and south off of that Skyway Bridge in Baton Rouge. Baton Rouge ain't a good place to get a good word, but it's a good place that I got one. Some of you put that together after a while. But I'm telling you, God said a word to me that day that transformed and changed my life forever. Think about this. I may not get no further than this. We're out of time anyway. But I'm having fun. I don't get to do this much, so just leave me alone. There's not only crushing burdens and church burdens, but listen to me, there's children burdens. Some of you is under the loads of your children and grandchildren to the point that it's taken away your health. And somebody said, I believe I could be more spiritual if I can handle it and not say nothing about it. No, it's going to kill you. Anything that depletes your health, the temple that the Holy Ghost dwells in, anything that depletes your health that can be given to something, to someone else, is not right to carry. Now, you know, you remember who Jochebed was? Jochebed was Moses' mama. And in a sense, Moses got too big for her to hide. And we'll just say she got too big for her to handle secretly. So you know what she did? She made a little ark. And she got the description of that ark right out of the Word of God. She pitched it within and without. She said, if Noah's afloat, I believe mine will. And she takes her burden. She takes that boy who's her burden. And she lays him in that ark that's pitched inside with mercy and outside with grace. And lays that little baby in that ark. And slid him out in the river. Did you know God can do pretty good things with kids that he fishes out of the river? Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, as long as you try to handle it, he'll let you. But when you say, Lord, my hands, hey, can I say it like this? As long as your hands are involved in it, he won't ever put his hands in it. They ain't room for my hands and his too. You need to get that. The hand of God is a big hand. You know what one of the worst things, and I preach this to my people, and I've got one of my men, one of the best men I've got. Boy, when I preach along these lines, it tears him out of the frame because he's doing exactly what I've asked the church not to do. I said, and he's got a grand boy. And that grand boy come up hard. I understand. I know all the situation. But that grand boy's left church. He's running around doing everything. And every time he gets in trouble, his papaw bails him out. Could I give you just a little word of counsel? Would you take it from an old daddy and an old preacher? If you want that child to come home, you know why the prodigal came home in Luke 15? His daddy didn't finance the far country for him. His daddy gave him what belonged to him, and when it was gone, it was gone. See, we got too many parents and grandparents financing the far country for their kids and grandkids. And could I say this? As long as you finance it, they'll never come home. As long as you're financing them, they're going to stay down there. You know why the prodigal come home? He got hungry. Somebody said, but I don't want mine to get hungry. You want them to go to hell? I'd rather for them to be hungry for a little while than in hell for eternity. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day when they're going to stand before the Almighty Judge, and no amount of money is going to bail them out of that situation. And I don't know how I got here preaching on the river. But I'm trying to say to you, what we need to do tonight is this right here could be an unloading dock. You could come up here with those burdens that you hadn't been able to handle, and they're taking you down. They're going to sink you. You could come up here and you say, Lord, I can't handle it no more. Somebody said, but I've tried that. No, you hadn't. If you ever give them to him, he's got them. I can assure you, if you ever give them to him, he'll never try to give them back to you. I know that. I know. From my own experience, I know. If you really mean it, if you really mean it, unload your burden on the river. And the river can bear. And you know what? You can't overload the river. Could I say this? The more burden you put on it, the higher it gets. You just can't ever overload it. You can't overload the river. He can carry all the burden of the church. I'm done with this. Well, I'm done. I got two more points. I'll take a dollar apiece for them. Don't try to carry that load alone. Somebody said, I don't know if God's interested in my burden. If he sees every sparrow that falls. I love that song, God Found a Sparrow. Brushed off its wings. And it soared into the sky. If he's interested in those little old minute things, he's interested in your burdens. I don't care what the load is. I don't care what the burden is. The river can handle it. Somebody said, preacher, I wish I knew how. You remember when you was under Holy Ghost conviction? And you remember when you couldn't handle it no longer? And you remember when you said, Lord, here I am. And you remember how it was when he took the burden away?
Yes, sir.
Remember how light you felt?
Yes, same way.
See, he took the load of my sin. But in this case, you got to give them to him. But it operates in the same manner. By faith. You give them to him. You give the load to him. He'll take them. He's got broad shoulders. He'll take them. I'm trying to listen to the Lord right here. I didn't mean to be disrespectful or irreverent. I don't even know if anybody in here is doing this. But I didn't mean to be disrespectful. I know you're tied to your children and grandchildren by love, strong cord. I understand that. I didn't mean to be disrespectful when I said you're going to have to cut the supply line off. I didn't mean to be disrespectful. But I'm telling you the truth. It's either cut the supply line off now or it's going to be cut off forever. There is a river. There is a river. And he's in us. You can load it on him tonight. You'll have to go hunt him up. He flows in here. Lord, I sure don't know all you've said tonight. I don't know. I do know that there's folk that need to take this to heart. And they need to not only respond to it, but act upon it. It's the truth. I pray that you would move in this moment. And Lord, I pray for these parents that's got kids that's in a wayward condition. These grandmas and grandpas that's got grandkids. I pray, God, that you would help them. Help them. Oh, God, would you help them? Help them to submit their all to you. Help them to just say, Lord, my hands are off. Please put your hands on. Lord, it don't mean that they don't care anymore. It don't mean they'll quit praying for them. It just means, Lord, they realize they can't fix it, but you can. You've brought us to this very point tonight, and I pray that you would use it for your glory.